name of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace and blessing. As the text just read, taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter, we shall at this time read verse 15, 19, and 20. After the wise men left, Joseph in a dream saw the Lord's angel. He said, "Get up, take the little child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." And then verse 19 and 20, "But when Herod died, the Lord's angel appeared to Joseph in Egypt in a dream and told him, 'Get up, take the little child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. Those who tried to kill the little child are dead.'" The name of our blessed Redeemer, Christian friends. There are times in our lives, and I'm sure that you have experienced them, as well as I, when we feel that the strength of fear and of panic becomes almost overwhelming. And it is not always the same thing that produces that kind of jammed up feeling when we fearfully do not know how to extricate ourselves. Now, one of these occasions happened 22 years ago today, when this nation woke up one morning to the announcement coming out of Russia that the first encircling satellite had been launched. A very small object in contrast to today's spacecraft. It weighed only 22.5 pounds and 180 pounds, and was only 22.5 inches in diameter. But this little fearful gadget was capable of monitoring what was happening in the great distance underneath it. And it encircled the globe just a little less frequently than every 1.5 hours. It was a sobering effect that this first satellite had upon the country. In fact, in some cases, it almost created a panic. Since then, of course, we have learned to live with the space adventure, and our own citizens have walked on the face of the moon. But when events of this type occur, and when there are moments or hours or days or even longer periods of time in our life, when we feel that we cannot move out of the block of fear and of panic, we suffer very, very severely. Joseph must have had an experience very similar to that. And yesterday morning we heard about the marvelous news of the wise men coming and bearing their gifts. And how quickly that great joy, that glory, that wonderful experience was transformed into panic and fear. So much so that the angel came and announced to Joseph at night in a dream that he must take the young child and his mother and to flee, because Herod was out to kill him. And under the cover of darkness, they move out, so that perhaps even the very people who were concerned about them during the time of their birth in the lowly hovel suddenly realize that the family is gone. They have seemingly disappeared. poet is an interesting study in terms of opposition to Christ and to his word. At first, and how well you know the account, the poet was totally ignorant of what was happening only some 6 miles from his church. But when the wise men came, he suddenly began to realize that something very unusual was beginning to happen. And his ignorance turned to curiosity, and his curiosity turned to a thirst, which amazingly revealed to him where the Christ child was to be born. It is not at all impossible that this was the first time that Herod had asked the spiritual leaders, whom he knew quite well, to start searching the scriptures in order to ascertain whether there was any truth to the message that the wise men had brought and the questions which they had raised. From ignorance, this opposition was moved into fear. And now, in the second phase, Herod begins to play the role of a hypocrite. He's all smile. He tells the wise men, "Our researchers have found out that the babe is born in Bethlehem. But," he said, "when you ascertain this, and after you have worshipped him, smiling from ear to ear, will you please also come back and let me know where the child is so that I can go and worship him?" The hypocrite, in his opposition to Christ and his church and his word. But then comes the third stage, when the hypocrite and the pretender now begins to sense that the competition is so great that he must use force. And of course, the use of the sword for Herod really meant nothing at all. But he did not hesitate, as in the case of the murder of the innocent, and some have estimated that perhaps the fewer six or as many as 30 male infants may have been murdered by the sword of Herod. It really did not make any difference to Herod whether there would have been 100 or 1,000. So even with respect to his own sons, when he assumed that they were becoming competitive for the throne, he saw to it that they were removed, that they were murdered. And that even he bore the sword against his wife. The hypocrite turned murderer in his opposition to Christ and his church. But at the same time, it is our God who repeatedly, as Matthew demonstrates so effectively in this entire chapter, refers to Old Testament prophecy that it is really the eternal God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, including human beings, who is still in charge. And in this case, particularly, Matthew is emphatic to show the divine intervention. And it is here that the angel repeatedly comes and brings a special message to Joseph, demonstrating throughout this chapter that God's promises are indeed here, and that even a man like Herod, in his violent opposition, uses the scriptures effectively in order to draw out the bit of information that he needed right at that particular time. And so, in the course of events, the infant Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, becomes a fugitive as he starts on that long and dusty and often painful road to Calvary and to his crucifixion, where in another crime the people shall crucify him. And it is there that you and I, through that act of sacrifice, learn to know that you and I too have a Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been freed of all of our disinterest in his word, that we have been freed of every moment when we, like Herod, feel that something within the church, Christ himself, his word, becomes a competitive element in our lives, or even that we have been freed and forgiven of those moments of opposition, and we have become the sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father through our brother, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is really that you and I, moving out as did Joseph and Mary, as moments of extreme transformation and promise, see the leading hand of a loving Heavenly Father into the joy that is ours as his sons and his daughters. You probably heard the story of the jet plane that was tossed about in a violent, turbulent storm. People became actually hysterical. But there, down in one of the front seats, sat a little boy who was amusing himself, totally unconcerned about anything that was going on. And even as the violent movements of the plane seemed to shake and jolt everyone else, he was very calm and collected. Finally, the stewardess asked him, "Little boy, how can you be so calm and so unafraid?" You know the answer that he gave. He says, "My daddy is the pilot." That is when there are moments in our lives when we feel that the violence and the turbulence seems to be pulling us on a course of destruction. It is there that you and I need to be reminded that through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father is the pilot. And I know the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.